And our last presenter is Dr. Lisa Killinger. She hails from Davenport, Iowa, and she's having served elderly in clinical practice and taught extensively on issues related to older adults. She's going to be speaking to us with a view from the clinical practitioner.
Thank you. And I do not have any relationships to disclose, sadly. And yesterday, I was in a training in APHA training to motivate people to action in public health through telling a story. And so I will start with a story. I was recalling a friend of mine, Cynthia, who shared with me that she was very, very sad about her mom's situation. Her mom lived with her. Her mom was 88, and she had become wheelchair-bound recently. She had just lost all confidence and started to use a wheelchair in the home. She was sad because she felt that because her mom, who was named Bud, by the way, had been falling lately several times in the last few months, that she thought it was probably really time to put her mom in an assisted living facility. She was very, very upset about this. So I asked her if she was ready to have her mom go to assisted living or if she would rather have her mom remain in the home, because sometimes people are really ready to let go. And she said no, she really wanted her mom to live in her home until she was passed away. So I asked her if she wanted help with that, and I did instruct her mom and went and evaluated her mom a little bit just as a friend. And the first thing I did was just grasp her quadriceps muscle and have her hold her quadriceps. If you guys unbend your leg, just straighten it out there. Go ahead and do that. And then feel your quadricep muscle. Feel your thigh. And when I felt her thigh, a chill went up my spine because I felt femur and skin. And there was no quadriceps that I could palpate. And we realized that there was some work to do. So I instructed the family about how to strengthen quadricep in a chair-bound person and had the mother, father, and kids all commit to working with Bud, which they did. Over the next month, she had no falls, and over 2 months later, she had decided that she no longer needed to use a wheelchair in the home and was up on her walker. She eventually worked herself up to using a quad cane, and she did live another year or two with her family before she did pass away in the home. And it was a big difference, and all it took was us getting off our keisters and palpating and feeling what's going on with this patient. And so we'll start there as a call to we've got to get up and do something. I put it down to ABCs. We got to do something simple. And from a clinician's perspective, we have precious little time to do much more than what's going to take a very little bit of time. So we're going to focus on a few things. I'm going to ask that you participate with me here. Add leg strength, build better balance, create flexibility. And first of all, why are chiropractors well positioned to do this? We see our patients often. We have great relationships with our patients, and we often are doing health promotion, so our patients are used to a dialogue, not just a quick in and out. So here's where we started with Bud. We added leg strength. We evaluated the quadriceps muscle was very, very low functioning at that time. The patient can choose. If they're wheelchair-bound, it might be limited to doing just what this person's doing, lifting their leg up off, and go ahead and I'd like you to hold both of your legs out in front of you. You'll kick the person in front of you just gently, but I want you to hold them up for the next 30 seconds, and that's going to be a yeoman's task. If you were a wheelchair-bound individual, it would be difficult for you to do that for 10 seconds. Some people are letting them fall. It's hard to do, but that's how you start building strength, is increasing the amount of time that you can hold your legs up. And in a wheelchair-bound person, that beginning can help them to get up out of the chair more. And if they can get up out of the chair, they can go to the bathroom, they can do a lot of things, and they have less falls. Walking, if they're able to walk, and dancing is certainly a much more fun way to build quadriceps strength, especially the twist. The twist is notoriously good for quadriceps muscles. I just found out recently. And the Cochrane Review certainly reports, Cochrane Review on Fall Prevention certainly supports this along with what our other speakers have shared with us. Better balance. I've heard all the speakers mention balance. A one-legged stand is the way we evaluate, and a one-legged stand is the way to fix it. So everybody gets to stand up and we're going to do a one-legged stand. If you're willing to, of course, some people may not be willing and may sit. You in the front row, you're going to have to help each other. I want not all of you in the front row to do this. You don't have anything to hold on to. But everybody else, get close to something you can hold on to. The chair in front of you or next to you. And hang on for a second. Get one leg up, whichever leg you pick. Hang on. I want you to be close to something you can hang on to. And then go ahead and let go while we time. Ready? Go. No, don't let that other foot touch the ground. We're going to go. We're going to try to go 20 seconds, and 20 would be a good balance. For an older adult, sometimes they can't make it to 10. I see some wobblers, and that's all right. Sometimes some people have already had to put a foot down. That's okay. We've gotten just about to 20 right now. If you struggle to do this, you know, you can go ahead and be seated. Balance is not your strong suit, and that means that there's reason, just foreshadowing here, it's not going to end up well if you do nothing. It's just not. So that would be a good candidate for when you do that quick evaluation, which takes you literally 30 seconds in practice to do. Then you can evaluate if the patient does struggle with that. You can encourage them at home to maybe do their teeth brushing while holding on, and then start their teeth brushing on one leg, and then the next day they can do it with the other leg, and if they can do it with the other hand, good for them. They're better than me. But go ahead and have them spend more time on one leg, and the more time you let your body practice that wobbling, the better you get at it. It's a learned behavior, and certainly practice makes perfect. Thank you. Soft surface standing, if they want to, even if that's easy for them, they want to do it on a soft surface, that ups the ante a little bit, makes it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more effective at helping with those proprioceptive muscles and building better balance. Tai Chi is what's mentioned, is very strongly supported in the literature as well. And once again, I mentioned practice makes perfect. Flexibility, I heard one of our speakers talking about ankle flexibility. If your patient cannot put their stand on the edge of a step, on the edge of a stair, and lower their ankle below the step, if they cannot get their ankle to flex more than that 90 degree for regular standing, they're probably struggling with ankle flexibility. So you guys all get to do a little ankle flexibility right now. This is what happens when you make me be last. And everybody's already said everything I was going to say. We're just going to do this stuff now. So that's the way it is. This is the way it's going down. So put whichever foot out you'd like. Stick it out forward. And I like to spell the letter A with your toe in the air. A. Now spell B. Now do a C. And now D. And some of you are already tired. I can just see. Switch over to the other leg. Don't hurt yourself. And now do the A with that worse leg. B, you see it, how hard it is? I have to do it with a mirror image because it's like dyslexia with my left leg. C, D, and if your patient can get through the alphabet, you know, what are they doing? They're sitting in a chair watching Price is Right. They can do this at home, sitting down, and it's not going to take any of their time. But that increases ankle flexibility, and there's other strategies as well that they can use to increase ankle flexibility. This is just one example. And then other things. I'm going to go, we did the ABCs, now we're going to do D, E, F, G quickly. Drug review. Other speakers mentioned this. Important to change medications that cause falls if possible. That's outside our scope, but work with someone. Encourage patients to choose one of the ABCs and do that this week. Let them choose, because if you tell them what you want them to do, they're going to say, I don't want to do that. Let them choose what they want to do. Fluids, don't forget fluids. Dehydration always contributes to falls. And as dehydration is almost omnipresent in the older population where we're seeing falls mostly. And then G, get tested. We talked about preventive screenings this morning. I'm going to repeat that message. There's many preventive screenings that are appropriate for older adults especially. Have them do. The screenings related to blood pressure, blood sugar, heart rate, and the things, as you as clinicians can evaluate quickly and make sure that they don't have an underlying health issue that's causing falls. Home safety checklist was mentioned, so if you download these slides, you'll have lots of links for how to get to those toolkits. Some of the toolkits were mentioned earlier. And just a few references. I'm going to leave you just again with a call to action. How many of you, by the way, are clinicians? How many of you are teaching people how to be clinicians? Between those two groups, we've got a lot of action that can happen in this room. If you're a clinician, do some of those things. Evaluate patients and find their weak link and then move ahead. If you're an educator, I've had the good fortune of training 5,700 students so far in my life on fall prevention, and I hope to do a lot more. Thank you very, very much.